probably one of the most conservative people in the Australian property market that's actually still buying property. You know, there's five things that are very important to me as an investor that serve as the foundation of what I think every successful portfolio needs. And the number one thing is timing the market.
In this episode of Property Investory, you'll learn from business owner and director Ben Everingham's experience with property investments. Scenarios fluctuating from profitable to tenant horror story. His less than smooth ride on the property investment train has not slowed him down in his pursuit to set his family up for life.
Welcome to Property Investory, the podcast that goes behind the scenes of property investing stories. Here's your host, Tyrone Shum.
Everingham's typical work week is structured around strategy sessions, shooting videos for a podcast, and working with clients.
So my day-to-day is extremely regimented, I suppose, because I'm a father and live on the Sunshine Coast with my wife. I've got two little girls up here. So my thought process is, you know, the time that I trade away from those girls needs to be put to its absolute best use. So, you know, on a given day, at the start of my week, I obviously plan my week and the things that I'm looking to achieve over that period of the week. Monday is generally catching up with the team and setting up for the week, reviewing the previous week, and then the marketing side of my business, which I love, like the shooting the videos and the podcasts and the cool stuff like that. A Tuesday would be catching up with clients in what we call our strategy sessions, where we talk with people for an hour and find out where they are and where they're looking to go. And so I might do those conversations back to back from, you know, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And then a Wednesday is working with existing clients and the team and reviewing the properties that we're looking at that week. A Thursday is a little bit the same, working with clients. And then a Friday is kind of the, you know, get into everything that's left over from the week and finish off all of those things that I haven't had time to do type thing. So, you know, a general day is the same way that everyone starts, planning the day, getting the emails, and then I focus on, you know, one or two priorities or tasks per day, those big rock type things, just so that I can knock them over.
As a director of several successful businesses, Everingham also owns a property management business which has steadily expanded over time.
One of those businesses is Pumped On Property. We're a buyer's agency that buy between $50 and $70 million worth of property per year in Australia. And I also own a property management business which manage our clients' properties after we've bought them for them. I suppose our philosophy with our business is very simple. We only take on 10 new clients per month. And, you know, we can get into the philosophy of what I like to buy personally later on in the podcast. But, yeah, it's been a great little business and obviously, you know, a whirlwind in terms of the growth over the last couple of years as well.
Everingham describes himself as a conservative when it comes to purchasing property. He believes the most important thing is the right timing and long-term capital growth, along with gradually adding value to each property.
Probably one of the most conservative people in the Australian property market that's actually still buying property. You know, there's five things that are very important to me as an investor that serve as the foundation of what I think every successful portfolio needs. And the number one thing is timing the market. And the example I'd give would be anyone that's bought in Sydney or Melbourne in the last 5 years now knows the power of timing the right market at the right time and riding that capital gain wave up at the right time of the cycle. The second most important thing to me outside of timing is obviously consistent long-term capital growth, which means, you know, targeting major metro markets from my perspective. The next thing that's very important to me is buying a property that you can add value to over time so that if the market stops performing or goes backwards, you've got a way to continue to build your portfolio, which might mean subdivisions, duplexes, renovations, etc. And then the fourth thing that's very important to me now, especially as I become more mature as an investor, is above average rental returns or good cash flow. And, you know, with the recent changes in lending, this 2017, during the time of recording this podcast, it's becoming increasingly difficult for certain investors in the market to borrow money. So it's important to have a strong cash flow position. And then, you know, I, like a lot of the people that listen to this podcast, earn money and pay tax on that money. So, you know, I do like to have some form of taxable benefit with the properties that I buy as well.
Growing up in Sydney, Everingham was educated at a competitive school where sports were a big part of the culture. He learned a lot from his father, who taught him how he could succeed in business.
I grew up on the southern side of Sydney, so in an area or a suburb called Engadine, which is about 20 minutes inland from Cronulla Beach. So I went to a school, a Catholic school in Engadine called Bosco. I went to Bosco Primary and Bosco High School. There I grew up playing a lot of sport, surfing and doing a lot of competitive sport. So Bosco was a good fit from that perspective because there was, you know, sport was a big part of the curriculum there and it was a very competitive school, like one of the best competitive sports schools in the state. And also, you know, lots of the kids there used to get on the train and we'd go surfing at the beaches after school and on the weekends and skateboard and stuff like that. So that was kind of our school. And then, you know, my parents, my mum grew up on the northern beaches of Sydney and my dad grew up in the western suburbs out near sort of Canterbury and Bankstown, which is why I'm still a Bulldogs fan. And a lot of my mates always gave me a hard time about that. But, you know, that's kind of their journey. And, you know, dad started with absolutely nothing. One of eight children, lost his dad when he was 4 years of age. So, you know, he kind of was a self-made guy and had worked really hard his entire life to create a better life for us. And maybe at, I don't know, 45 years of age, he started his own business or bought an established business and continued to run it. And so, you know, at an early age, I learned that, you know, businesses could be great things and businesses could also be successful and last, and you could do the right thing and look after people in business and still make good money. So that was a really good thing that I, you know, didn't realise the significance of until much later in life when I had, you know, the confidence at a very early age to step out on my own and go and do my own thing.
While Everingham's parents never insisted in property, it still gave their son a sense of understanding of the potential opportunities that he could take advantage of in the future. Everingham says that the benefits far outweigh the risks.
So my mum's owned four properties over her entire lifetime, but never more than one at a time. It's always been her own home in Sydney, or recently she moved up to the coast. And my dad, same sort of thing. He's owned three properties over his entire life, and all three of those properties have actually been the house that he's lived in. So property investing wasn't something, but I remember going on a, you know, like a family holiday when I was in primary school, and I remember my parents seeing this house right on the beach for $90,000 at the time. It was, you know, 20 years ago. And I remember hearing them talk as I grew up about that house that they missed out on and what their life would have been like if they had bought it. So very early, I understood like that property prices, I suppose, can go up over time. And these, you know, I didn't want to be the person that missed out on these opportunities and was talking about, you know, spending a lifetime worrying about money or thinking about that sort of stuff.
Leading up to his career as a businessman and his initiatives in property investing, Everingham owns that he has had many jobs prior to realising his dream.
I think over from the time I got my first job when I was like 12 years of age, and I think from that time until now, I've literally had over 50 different jobs. Yeah, like I've worked with some of the biggest companies in the world, from like your IBMs and your GJ Gardner Homes and your American Expresses and your Qantases, right through to like, you know, local corner stores. And I did like landscaping and labouring for 4 years when I was at uni and worked in cafes and bars and, you know, absolutely everything you can kind of imagine. I was kind of that person that, one, valued myself from a young age, and so I just wouldn't put up with shit, like in terms of, you know, getting treated the way that I didn't think I was supposed to be treated, even as a young guy. And secondly, like I was a bit like the kid in the candy store with learning, and so I used to go into positions and jobs and learn as much as possible. But then my learning curve, you know, I identified either very quickly I didn't want to be in that space after 3, 6, 12 months. I think the longest job I actually ever had before starting the business was about a 3-year period, which is kind of crazy now that I look back at it. But I didn't realize how invaluable all of those experiences observing different types of leaders and different types of businesses would now be.
Everingham also states that having been a jack of all trades has coincided with meeting many inspiring role models. His knowledge he has been able to apply to his business strategies in the present.
Yeah, I've met some incredible people. You know, one of the guys that I think about often is my last boss at my last job, which was, as a marketing manager for six different global brands. And three of those brands were in the building game in Australia, America and New Zealand. And I just observed a very young guy at the time when I started with him. I think he was 34, making very good money and, not really working a lot. I think in the last 12 months that I worked with him, he probably came into the office 20 days out of 12 months. He just had created this very scalable, very sustainable business model. And working with those types of people and observing those things at a young age is extremely powerful because it changes your paradigm and it changes the way that you think about everything from seeing someone else that's already gone out there and done it.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve into Ben Everingham's journey on how he became a property investor.
So I remember I picked up Rich Dad Poor Dad when I was 23 years of age, and I think everyone that doesn't come from money, that book has a pretty significant effect on when they read it, if they read it young enough.
How he grew his property portfolio.
It took me another 6 months to save another deposit. And then I went and bought my first place, which was a two-bedroom unit in the Sutherland Shire in Sydney, in Miranda. And then 3 or 4 months after that, I went and bought a second property, which was a five-bedroom house with a granny flat on the Central Coast.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey, podcast listeners. Are you enjoying listening to these stories? If you are, then subscribe to Property Investory on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Simply visit likemypodcast.com to subscribe today. Everingham began his property investing journey at a party as a young man, where he learned the power of investing in compound interest over time through the inspirational book Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki.
So I remember I picked up Rich Dad, Poor Dad when I was 23 years of age, and I think everyone, that doesn't come from money, that book has a pretty significant effect on when they read it, if they read it young enough. I picked up Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and when I was 23, I had a year and a half, I think, left of university. And I remember going to my now wife, at the time girlfriend's friend's house, and they were having like a party and everyone was getting heaps drunk, and I picked up the book the day before and I literally couldn't put it down. So I took it to this party and just sat on the pool chair all day reading it in the sun while everyone else got smashed around me. And I felt like an arsehole looking back about it now, but at the time it was just so captivating. I couldn't put this thing down. And what I learned from that book, even though I didn't have money to go out and buy property at the time because I was still at university living out of home, was that assets are definitely better than wages. And so I learned the power of investing in compound interest over time. And I also learned that running your own business is better than working for someone else. And so from that time I read that book, I knew that I would at some point in my future invest in property, and then I'd use that property and that passive income to go in and start my own businesses without the fear of doing that. So the first year I got out of university, I saved a bunch of money. A friend of mine, it was the first time I'd really had money in my life, and a friend of mine came up for a holiday and he said, "Do you want to go to America next week?" And I said, "Yes." So I actually went and spent my whole first deposit on a trip to America with some friends. Came back, got a big slap over the knuckles from my wife's father, who was a very avid property investor, and just sort of said, "What the F have you done? You've wasted your first deposit. You're an idiot." It took me another 6 months to save another deposit, and then I went and bought my first place, which was a two-bedroom unit in the Sutherland Shire in Sydney, in Miranda. And then 3 or 4 months after that, I went and bought a second property, which was a five-bedroom house with a granny flat on the Central Coast. So from that time on, I was hooked, and that was sort of seven and a half, 8 years ago now. So over that time, we've accumulated and sold and bought and held and built a lot of different properties. And, that's kind of where we are today.
Everingham also shines a light on a real story. a property investment tragedy which even made the local news in the Central Coast.
So it's a Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock 3 weeks ago, and I get a call from my mate who said, "Have you turned on the local news?" And I said, "What local news firstly?" Because I live in Queensland. And he said, "I think your property is on the local news on the Central Coast." And I said, "What?" And then he said, "Yeah, you should probably ring your property manager." And then he hung up the phone. And I'm like, "Okay, what's going on?" I ring my property manager and I'm like, "What's going on?" And she's like, "Well, you know, because I'd recently found out that I had, you know, I'd leased the property out to one lady who'd been there for 8 years, but I'd found out in the latest inspection that she'd subleased it out to 8 other adults. So it was a house with a granny flat. You know, 8 adults living in one property is just deadly, as you know, especially the quality of the tenants that we had in there. And so I've kind of gone, "What happened?" And she's like, "Well, there was a domestic issue at the property the other night." And she said, and I said, "What happened?" And she's like, "Well, two of the male in the property had a knife fight." And I said, "Okay, that's insane. Like, what the hell, who has a knife fight?" And she said, "They've done a fair bit of damage to the property." And so a couple of days later, six detectives have rocked up to the property because, you know, they've realised that something else is going on. And these people have effectively run out the back of the property, and I don't know what's happened, but at the exact moment the detectives have rocked up, my granny flat, which has been there for 8 years, has caught on fire and burnt to the ground. So the cause of the fire was undetermined from the police event and the fire event. I don't know what happened, but it's pretty coincidental that something's obviously happened. And so the detectives couldn't enter the property until the fire was out. So two fire trucks have rocked up into this little suburban street by the beach on the Central Coast. And then, you know, the six detectives are there, and then they've called for backup. And as they've called for backup and sectioned off this street, these 8 adults have run out of the property. Apparently 4 of them have got away and 4 of them have been put in cuffs. I hope this is okay to share this story. Like, it's the most extreme example of what could ever happen to a property, I think.
That's fine. I'm very happy that you have, because it's very good story. This is what I love. Like, it's these stories like this.
This is the start, bro. Like, this just escalates over a period of weeks. So these people, four of them are in cuffs and about to be put in the cop car. Then a couple of the neighbours come out that have AVOs against these people in the house. And they start breaking off fence palings and getting cricket bats and then attacking these people that have their arms cuffed behind them. So there's now 30 or 40 members of the public in a full-blown fight in the street, because for whatever reasons that I didn't know and my property manager never told me about, there's a massive issue in the street with these tenants. And so there's like now 30 or 40 policemen at the property and 30, 40 people literally fighting them. And, you know, you think the story's going to end there and, you know, these people go away. Then the tenants get back into the property. We've gone to tribunal and obviously using the police event letter the courts have granted that they've got 10 days to get out of the property and remove all their stuff. Over that 10-day period, there were 2 more knife fights, and the tenants during those fights broke every single window in the property and put their heads and arms through about every single wall in the house. So the entire house is now destroyed internally as well. And so we've had, that's where the second insurance claim comes on top of the first one. And then, you know, they've vacated the property, but before they have, it's Easter long weekend and the electricity company's cut the power off. So then the person in my property has got an extension cord, illegally plugged it into the neighbor's house and is running their entire house off this one cord, and it's raining. The cord catches fire and has to be put out again. Like, it just keeps going and going, man. And then they've finally got them out of the property. They haven't cleaned anything. And not only that, they've actually dumped 4 stolen cars onto the property before they left. So this is all literally occurred in the last 3 weeks, man. And this has been my life, just trying to go through this thing. Like, I don't know many people that have had an entire house trashed, you know, what looks like some form of illegal activity occurring in the house. Their granny flat burnt down, 3 knife fights and 4 illegal cars dumped in one sitting. But, you know, that's kind of the worst case scenario. That's the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And if I didn't laugh about it, I'd have to cry.
Despite his struggles, everything fell into place for Everingham after purchasing his second investment property, which gave him a sense of self-gratification.
And realised a number of things. One, you know, I'd now, none of my friends at the time and not many people where I grew up had investment properties. So the fact that I was 24 and had a couple of properties was a big deal in my own mind. It was kind of like a pat on the back and a feeling of worth or something like that, if you know what I mean. Like it gave me some self-gratification. What I also learned from buying that second property is that you can buy well below market value if you know the pain points for other people. And, you know, so that was huge for me. The biggest thing that I've probably learned in the last 7 years, and has been everything that I've been focusing on lately, is just timing. You know, the power of buying those initial properties in the right markets at the right time, you know, directly after the GFC or during the GFC, you know, what would have been very close to the bottom of the market. And then, you know, riding that wave back up kind of made me realise that most of the hard work in property is actually done over a very short period of time. And then a lot of it's just sitting back and continuing to consolidate and get yourself into a better position, like a safer position.
Everingham adds that he was also inspired by Philip Anderson's book, The Secret Life of Real Estate and Banking.
He's an economist in Australia who's got businesses in America and London. And for anyone that's seen that movie, The Big Short, he was one of those guys that identified the housing crash in 2005 in America and shorted the American market all the way down. And he wrote this book called The Secret Life of Real Estate and Banking, which looks at the last 300 years of boom and bust cycles in America and Australian property. And it's just the most powerful book I've ever read in terms of understanding the bigger picture and the, you know, the timing of different markets, you know. And what was interesting to me was there was a very consistent pattern of, you know, 14 years of relatively stable upward growth and 4 years of very hard times. So it was extremely interesting to see, you know, over such a long period, a pattern repeating itself based on a centralized banking system that constantly breaks at some point based on a certain amount of pressure in the market. So that's big for me to kind of be able to, you know, see a little bit more of the future than I've been able to see before, as well as, you know, a good review of the past.
At 31 years of age, Everingham says that he's excited that he has a clear investment strategy set up for himself for the future.
It took me a really long time to understand what my personal investment strategy was. And I've tried a lot of different things. And, you know, luckily with the timing of the market, most of those things have come off in a positive way. But, you know, what I've now realised for me and what I'm most excited about moving forward is the fact that, you know, I know that Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane are going to be my playgrounds for buying property over the next 30 years. I know that I'm going to be buying walking distance to the beaches or, you know, within 10 kilometres of the CBD. I know that I'm always going to be able to find those distressed assets and then add value to them over a very short period of time to release immediate equity. You know, I understand that capital growth is affected by a few things and far less things than most people think about. And higher quality properties is actually what gets you there in, you know, a shorter period of time, as opposed to, you know, stuffing around with all sorts of different things that people stuff around or, you know, create businesses out of just because they see a niche in the marketplace, not because it's the most effective thing for people. And so, yeah, I'm excited that I've got a plan in place and that I'm at a stage of life where I know what I now know and can just consistently apply that for the next 30 years.
Inspired by Ben Everingham's story and his exciting prospects for the future, we'll keep the conversation going in a future episode on Property Investory. We'll talk about how to apply the strategy.
You know, markets just don't do the consistent things that they used to do, so you've got to be more sophisticated in terms of your strategy to get the same results.
Success habits for property investing.
So I think the fact that I'm detailed, orientated, I'm very patient now, and that I have a very structured way of buying, from identifying markets to identifying suburbs to reviewing suburbs to identifying quality properties to reviewing those properties.
And that's next time on a future episode of Property Investory. Also, I would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, feedback, or want to share your story, send me an email to hello@propertyinvestory.com and let's start a conversation. Thanks for listening.